The following audio is from Harvest Fellowship. For more information about Harvest Fellowship, visit harvestabq.org.
Huge shout out to all of our dream teamers. We had a dream team party Friday night. Did y'all have fun? Yeah, I love how many of you wore your shirts today, too. That's awesome. It was so much fun. And if you weren't there, you should sign up for the Dream Team. You should go to Discover and join the Dream Team, and you can come to the party next year. It's a blast. And I've been asked a couple of times. We did our very own Harvest version of Carpool Karaoke, and it's being requested, so we're going to post that this week on our Facebook so you can enjoy that, or if you missed it, you get to see it for the first time. But just so thankful for all of our dream teamers who just show up week after week, and you guys are just absolutely amazing. Let's start with our theme verse this morning, John chapter 15, verse 16. I'm going to have you say it with me. This is just kind of how we do things around here. This is our verse for 2019. So why don't you say it with me? One, two, three. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. So we're trying to produce lasting fruit this year. That's what God's calling us to, and we're kicking the year off with this series called Today Matters. It's about 12 decisions that if we make these decisions daily, they will guarantee our success. And we kind of settled this last week that really all of us want to succeed. I mean, that's not really the question. The question is, will we do the things that are necessary to ensure our success? And so today we're going to cover decision number one. And the way this will work is this week in many of our life groups, we'll be covering the second decision. And then next week I'll teach the third, and we'll just carry that pattern. And we're going to cover all 12 here in the next couple of weeks. And I really believe this has the ability to be life transforming for many of us. Now, I'll warn you that today the decision that we're going to talk about is not really earth-shattering. I don't think anybody's going to leave today and go, oh my goodness, Pastor Jason, he taught us something we've never heard before. I don't think that's going to happen today. I think I'm going to remind you of a daily decision that we need to put into our daily lives, not just sporadically, but every single day. The idea is that something happens when we do something every single day. I was reviewing our retirement accounts this week. Lisa and I had logged into, we have a couple of things going. I logged into them. We're just checking and just kind of beginning of the year, making sure, you know, our plan is in place and everything's going there. And honestly, it was a little depressing because the market's not helping us at all right now. But I checked on it, and I was reminded of the power of compound interest. Now, when compound interest, when you have debt, compound interest is your enemy, right? We don't want that kind. But when we're talking about investment, compound interest is your friend, right? It's working for you. Now your interest earns interest, right? It snowballs and it grows. And it's this way that if we make these daily decisions and we just keep making, it's kind of like a snowball rolling down the mountain. It just keeps picking up snow, picking up traction. There's this power of compound interest. So I read this article. The title caught my attention. It said, invest young, and I think I'm still young, and I don't know, but invest young, and the power of compound interest will make you rich. So I'm like, all right, I got to figure this out. And here's what the article says. It says, how much you can put away per month is important, but not as important as, but I'm sorry, but that number pales in comparison to how much time you can invest in your plan. In other words, the sooner you start, the greater the advantage you'll have. Thanks to the power of compound interest, time is the most powerful variable a young investor has on his or her side. In other words, it's teaching the principle of today matters, right? That it's the idea of putting these decisions together day after day and they turn into weeks, and they turn into months, they turn into years, they turn into decades, and there's this power in making the right decision. Today, we're going to talk about the first decision is about good thinking, all right? It's about good thinking. Now, I think this is a huge topic, the idea about what we think about, of good thinking, because the thoughts, your thoughts, our thoughts, they determine where we're going. They determine the trajectory of our lives, right? What we think about today, it really dictates what's going to happen tomorrow. The Bible says it this way in Proverbs 23. It says, as a man thinketh, so is he, right? There's a power in how we think. If you're reading in the book that accompanies the series, there's a quote there, and it says this. It says, thought is the original source of all wealth, all success, all material gain, all great discoveries and inventions, and all achievement. In other words, our daily thinking matters. You know, we're trying to succeed in this life. We're trying, as our theme verse says, to bear fruit that will last. That would be a definition for me of success in following Jesus, right? Is a fruitful life, fruit that lasts, fruit. But listen, success does not happen by accident. Right? Fruitful lives don't happen by accident. You don't just kind of stumble into success. I always kind of laugh when I go into a gas station and I'm waiting in line, you know, to pay, and I see someone, they buy, you know, a couple of lottery tickets, you know, and they're hoping, right, that they're going to just bump into success, right? I mean, they haven't invested wisely. They haven't, you know, really used wisdom. They're just like, I hope I'm going to get rich today. And I always laugh because I watch them because it's just predictable, right? They can't even wait to get out the door, right? They slide down the counter and they start, you know, scratching off to fit. And I always kind of hope that I'm there when the guy wins like, you know, 20 million and he'll like give me some of it or something. I don't know, but it's never happened. I mean, I watch every time it's just disappointment after disappointment. They just walk out the door. But the idea is you don't just bump into success. But what I've learned watching successful people is successful people practice good thinking. So if we want to raise our level of success, we got to think better, right? We got to think differently, right? We got to change the way that we think. Think about it this way. If you don't develop the practice of good thinking, then you find yourself at the mercy of circumstance. I mean, it's just like whatever comes my way, right, I just got to take it and I just got to go with it. And there's this kind of this current in life that if you're not thinking, if you're not, you know, making good decisions, it will just take you wherever it wants to take you. It's kind of like a guy who's walking home from work one day and he's on his way home and he decides he's going to take a shortcut. And so he cuts through, you know, an alley to get home a little bit faster, and as he's on his way through the alley, a guy, you know, jumps out and holds him up and, you know, takes all of his money, but he lets him live. And so, you know, husband makes it home, and, you know, he tells his wife, you know, what happened, and she's like, oh, it's okay, as long as, you're alive. I mean, the money can be replaced. It's okay. And he goes to work the next day, and he's walking home the next day, and he sees the same alley. And he thinks, I'm gonna take the shortcut. And he goes down the same alley, and the same guy with the same gun hops out, and the same thing happens, right? And he gets home, and his wife's like, well, why'd you do the same thing, right? I mean, why do you keep going down? But aren't we the same, right? Like, why do we keep making the same decisions? Why do we keep, you know, going down the same dark alley? I mean, listen, there's going to be times you're going to try something new, right? You're going to go down a new path, and sometimes it'll work, and sometimes it won't, right? So, and the thing is, we got to figure out that when it doesn't work, we don't just keep trying it over and over, right? Proverbs says it this way. It's a little disgusting, but it says, it's a Bible, so I'm going to read it. It says, as a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. I got a great picture of this the other day. We're living with my parents because our house flooded. And the other day, I'm coming down the stairs, and our dog threw up in my parents' living room. I mean, a big pile of throw up in the living room. And we're being more cautious because it's not really our house, you know? So I'm like, oh, you got to get this cleaned up before mom and dad see it. So I went and got Lisa, right? Like, babe, your dog threw up, you know? he's my dog until that happens. No. And then, so in the meantime, while I'm getting, you know, Lisa, I come back. And when I come back, Cooper is standing back at his own pile, you know, of vomit. And he's starting to eat it. And I'm running down the stairs like, no, stop it. You're disgusting. I kicked him outside. And just so you don't hate me, because I helped Lisa, I promise you, okay? I didn't make her do it on her own. We did it together because, you know, couples who clean vomit up together stay together, all right? So we did it. We cleaned up. But, I mean, this is the idea. You know, poor thinking means we just keep going back. We keep making the same mistakes. We don't learn from our mistakes. Lisa and I are foodies, all right? That means we love food. All right, anyone else? Any foodies with me? Here's what it also means. The worst thing possible to me is to waste a meal. I mean, I hate it. I hate wasting a meal. I hate when I spend good money hoping for good food and then it's not good. I get angry, honestly. I'm just like, this was a waste of food, all right? So to try to avoid that, we often, if we haven't been somewhere, we'll use Yelp and we'll read the reviews, you know, to see, you know, what people are saying about it. And we've learned it's pretty reliable, all right? But the thing I found interesting as I read reviews is how often people make comments like, I came back here for lunch even though I didn't enjoy my last meal. And I'm like, well, you know, and I shared this in the first service, and Mike Pittman's he's a health inspector, and he goes, oh, man, you should see the reports that we see. You know, it's like, I've been to the Chinese buffet 6 times, and every time I get sick. Well, what did you expect? It's a Chinese buffet, you know? I mean, just stop going, right? This is what we do. And so we have to change our thinking, right? And the idea today is if we change our thinking, then we change our ways, right? Our actions follow our thinking. And if we can change our actions, then the end result ends up differently, right? We don't want to keep going to the same end. We want new results. So my goal today is to help us to become better thinkers. Now, you can try this on your own if you want to, okay? What I mean is, you could try today you can make a decision, I'm going to be a better thinker, and you can muster up all your strength, all, you know, your gumption, you could go buy the book, and you can try, you know, just all in your own strength to do this, right? Kind of a self-help, right? I bought the book for all of our board and staff. I gave it to them at, you know, the end of 2018 and said, hey, we're going to do this in January. I'm kind of letting you guys get ahead, and so we'll be on the same page. And so, you know, they started reading the book, and one of the guys came to me one day, and he's like, Pastor, have you read this book? And I was kind of offended, you know, like, I mean, you think I'd give you a book I haven't read, you know? But I hit it, and I was like, yeah, I've read it. And he's like, well, I just got to ask you. I mean, is this one of those self-help books, you know, kind of, I think he's implying, like, maybe it's not spiritual, maybe it's just self-help, you know, I don't know. And listen, the idea, right, and I'm like, no, it's way more than that. In other words, right, you can try all these things on your own, right? You can get up every day and look in the mirror and self-talk yourself. You can do all the strategies that you want, but there really is a better way. The better way to change our thinking is to invite God into the process, right, to help us, to give us his thoughts, but then ultimately to teach us how to start thinking like he does, right? Like, what if our process, right, was to think the way that God does. Romans chapter 8 talks about it like this. It says, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live according to the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. So think about it for a minute. Those that set their mind according to the flesh, right? That means you're living a life based on your own desires. This type of thinking is based on feelings, right? It's like, well, how do I feel today? Do I feel like doing this? Do I feel, you know, like having a devotion this morning? Do I feel like going to church? Do I feel like robbing a bank? You know what I mean? I'm just telling you, living by your feelings is extremely dangerous. Some of you wake up and you feel a certain way, and after you've had your coffee, you feel a different way, and by lunch, you feel another way, and by bedtime, you feel a different way. I mean, it's like multiple personalities, right? Listen, when you operate by your feelings, that's what it's going to look like, is you're just constantly moving and wavering, and you don't know up from down, and the idea is that feelings are so strong that we interpret them as truth. I mean, it's our filter. It's like, well, you know, if I feel bad, then obviously this situation is bad, right? If I feel good, then, and the idea, listen, I want you to know, feelings, you can't trust them, right? They're fickle, they change, right? They're subjective, they're deceiving. Listen, feelings are not truth. So you have to be careful. I read a quote this week by Elizabeth Gilbert, who wrote Eat, Pray, Love. She said, your emotions are slaves to your thoughts, and you are the slave to your emotions. You got to be careful by being led around by your emotions. If you live according to what you want, the scripture, Romans, says that that's living according to the flesh, right? But those who submit their ways to God, right, their minds are set on what the Spirit desires. So here's the big difference in the two, right? You have a choice. The question is, which way is your mindset, right? What's the setting of your mind? This is the core decision to changing our thinking, right? Is it according to my desires, my flesh, or is it being governed by the Spirit of God, right? That's the big decision. Now, I thought about it this way. I don't know, did any of you ever use an app for getting directions that's called Waze? Any of you ever use that, the Waze app? So it's kind of become my go-to, map. It's a smart map. I mean, it really is. I don't know how it does it, but like it can tell you where like the police speed traps are and where the wrecks are and where the construction is. And I mean, they're really smart. It's amazing. And so I struggled with it, though, when I first started using it, because like any man, I don't think I need help with directions, right? So, I mean, I don't like when my phone is telling me what to do, right? Even though I asked it to, it's a man thing, right? And I remember early on, I put the address in and I would be heading in a certain way. And I thought I knew how to get there. And then the app would like tell me to exit. And I would talk back to the app. I'm like, what do you think? No, we're not exiting here. That's a horrible way to go. Don't look at me like that. You talk to your app too. I know you do. And I learned a lesson. I learned to trust the app, because often when I would ignore its directions, I would end up getting stuck in, you know, traffic that I didn't know was up ahead, or a detour that I didn't know was coming, right? It's like it knew what was coming, and it was trying to help me, kind of like the Holy Spirit, right? You know, often I'm living my life and I feel the nudge of the Holy Spirit, and I don't know. Sometimes I just do exactly what I feel like he's saying. Other times I argue with him. You know, and I think if we can learn here, it's telling us, look, you can live according to the flesh, or you can allow the Spirit of God to reveal to you. Or, you know, so it's not really about changing your thinking, but allowing him to change your thinking. Now, here's how we change our thinking. Thinking should not be separated from praying. That's really how we do it. thinking for the Christian, right, for the Christ follower, cannot be a separate thing from our praying. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says this, says, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagine what God has prepared for those who love him. So there's this great promise, right, that God has these amazing plans for you. These things God has revealed to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. So listen, the things that are keeping you up at night, right? The dreams that you have for you and your family and your business and your kids, I mean, all of it, the good, the bad, everything. Listen, the great news is it's not dependent on your own thinking. You can submit that. All the answers are found in our Creator. We can run to him, and he reveals himself by his Spirit. So, I mean, the big idea really is this. God has your answer. I warned you that it's not going to be profound today, all right? You're like, I learned that in Sunday school. But do you know it, right? God really has the answers to whatever it is that we're asking, that we're thinking, that we're going through. So the advantage is, it's not about my best thoughts, right? I mean, the world has some strategies to help you to think better thoughts. I was reminded, like, in English class in school, you know, the teacher would give you a topic to write about, and they would teach us to do this, like, spider web exercise. You put the topic there, and you circle it, and then you just put all the other ideas that come to your mind. And then you, I don't know, there's a whole thing to it. I'm not teaching you, you know, a strategy to think better. I'm asking you to think and to pray. In other words, to rely on the Spirit of God for answers rather than trying to come up with your own. Prayer really is the key. Now listen, if you can think, you can pray. I want you to know this. See, often I think prayer is, I don't know, it's like an intimidating subject or something for Christ followers. We have these ideas in our head, like, well, I mean, I got to pray at 4 a.m. Like, that's the only time God's awake, you know? Or I got to pray for 2 hours. Or, you know, we have all these things. And often I talk to people and they're like, I don't know how to pray. I'm like, what do you mean you don't know how to pray? I mean, you're talking to me. Just talk to God. It's not, but we complicate it. We make it this thing. So I just want to help you this morning. If you can think, you can pray. But there's a difference. Thinking, okay, when you're thinking, all you're really doing is organizing your fears. I mean, you're just figuring out what they are. You're kind of putting them on the shelf. You're getting them all figured out there, right? But praying actually allows us to alleviate those fears, right? So we think, we get it out there, and then we submit all of it to God. Matthew 7 has a great promise. It says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. So the good news is you can come to God. And I just have a theory. I have a theory that God's speaking far more than most of us are listening. I have a theory that most of us miss a lot of what God wants for us because we're not paying attention, right? Because we're not asking him, because we're not listening. So let me help you with some practical advice today. Really, really practical to help improve our thinking by praying, right? By asking God. So the first thing I tell you is this: position yourself daily. Position yourself daily. You know, often right at the beginning of a message, we didn't do it today, but often I'll ask you, I'll say, hey, say a 30-second prayer with me. And I usually use these words, and I say, position your heart to hear from God today. And so we'll do that, right? We push out the distractions and we ask God to speak to us, and we just put ourselves in a position to listen to the voice of God. But there's also some really practical pieces to this. I would say this: find a place where you can think and pray. Like an actual location. You know, for some of you, you know, you probably, maybe it's on your porch or, you know, beside the pool or, you know, in a special chair. You know, I've found a lot of people, it's like they have their best thoughts and it's like, it's their thinking chair, you know, or a prayer closet or, you know, you find a place, you know, where you can hear the voice of God. You know, living with my parents, I had to find a new place, right? And so I found a place. I love it. I get up in the mornings and I get my cup of coffee and I go into the living room and they have a fireplace and I love it because it's a fireplace. You literally flip a switch and boom, fire. I mean, it's just awesome. You don't have to be a Boy Scout or nothing. I mean, just boom, fire. I love it. And so I go down and it's like all these elements. Right? I'm up early. I have my coffee. I've got the fire going, you know, and I get down there and it's just become this place where I'm consistently hearing the voice of God. Now the reality is I have several places, right? Now I'm just telling you for examples. These don't have to be your places, but I've found that I hear the voice of God really often when I go out for a run. In fact, to the point that I expect it. It's like I know, I'm almost excited. It's like I'm putting my shoes on, I'm getting ready, and I'm like, man, God is going to speak to me while I'm out here running. Another place, I found that I very often hear the voice of God when I'm out in nature. That's why I fish so much. Do you believe that? I'm trying to spiritualize fishing. I don't know if it's working. Y'all can help, Lisa, help me. So I often hear God right here in the sanctuary when no one else is here. One of my favorite things to do is I'll come in here and I go up in the sound booth and I turn worship music on. I like to put it really loud so I can't hear myself, right? And I come down here and I just kind of pace across we call the altar space, you know? And I don't sit still and do hardly anything, right? So if I sit and pray, I fall asleep. So I've learned, right? So I walk in here and I pray. It's a consistent place for me. I mean, there's been many a nights where I've gone to Lisa and said, hey, I just need to go to the church for a little while. You know, and she knows it's kind of a code language. Like, I need to go hear the voice of God, right? I often hear the voice of God late at night when everyone else is asleep, right? When it's I can find a quiet place. So you got to position yourself. The idea is that you're prioritizing. Here's the second thing. You're setting aside time to think and pray. This idea of time is a funny thing because how many times a week do you hear someone say, well, I don't have time for that, right? Do you hear that pretty often? I hear it quite often. Listen, there's a misconception. I mean, none of us really have time, but we create time, right? We make the time for things that are important. So what you have to do when it comes to thinking and praying is you set time aside to pray. Now, how many of you are morning people? How many of you wake up ready to go, right? How many of you are night people? Night people, whoa, yeah, lots more. How many, anyone like really, like you're maybe you're both, any both? Both got a couple, like you're on all the time, all right, yep, good. And a few of you are neither. How many of you are like your window's like 11 to 1, right? That's your sweet spot, right? It's all right. Here's what I'm trying to help you with, is God made all of us different, right? You know, Lisa and I are different in so many ways. She's a morning person, okay? She wakes up and it's 0 to 100. Like her eyes open and I mean, her mind floods with ideas. And the problem is she has to verbalize them, right? She can't stay there. And so quite often, this is what happens. Is we're kind of waking up, and all of a sudden, she's just like a firing squad with questions, you know? Just, blah, blah, what are we going to do? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, I'm not awake. I mean, my eyes are open. I'm moving, but I'm not here. Like, I'm still in bed. I'm still getting there, right? And it takes me like 15 minutes. I just gotta get up and move and kind of wash my face and drink a little bit of coffee. And there's some things that have to happen. On the other end, you know, it'll be bedtime and we're laying in bed and we're just talking, and all of a sudden she doesn't respond to a question, and I look over and she's sleeping. So I'm like, well, I guess you agree with me. I should buy that fishing pole. And so you know? And then later I'm like, no, we talked about that. I promise you, right? You shouldn't do that. That's bad. The idea is you gotta figure out, right, what your best is. Give your best to God, right? I mean, whatever you got to do to work your time out so that it's your best. I remember in Bible college, I had a couple of friends that we were just like really zealous. And so we decided we were going to get up like 4:30 in the morning to pray every day, you know. And the dorm room, they had a little prayer room downstairs. And so we would get up, you know, and we'd get our Bibles and our notebooks and we'd head down to the prayer room. And it was a real narrow prayer room and I'd, you know, my friend would sit there and I'd sit here and I'd start reading. Right? And I'm just like nodding and nothing's making sense. I hate that. And I would fall asleep. And like 45 minutes later, I'm like, I'd wake up, you know. I'm like, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Right? And I'd look, my buddy would be sleeping, right? I'm like, what kind of accountability partner are you, you know? We had the right intention. We were trying to do, you know, the right thing. But I mean, neither one of us were really morning people, right? And so we learned like that's not the time for us. That doesn't make sense. But listen, you got to make the time. You got to figure out the right time for you. You make the time. You set it aside. And then I would say this: find a process that works for you. Okay, find a process that works for you. So everyone's unique in your process and what helps you and what works for you. So I just give you some examples. I found that a great strategy for me is writing things down, you know. So I have a journal or I keep some notes on my phone and I just kind of write it. I put some things out there to help me and then I bring that to God, right? I submit that to the Lord and then I'll talk about this in a moment. Then I also capture the God thoughts. I want to write down what he's speaking to me. But so part of my process often is some kind of writing. I also like to use music, all right? So I can pray in the quiet, but I don't like to. You get it? I mean, I can pray anywhere, but there's some places and some ways and some times that are just better for me. And so for me, like I even have like certain worship songs that they just like help me get there faster, right? Like my heart, just something happens and I can just get in that zone faster. And so I've learned some things that help me, a process that helps me to get into that place where I can hear the voice of God. And then you get there and as the Lord speaks to you, you want to capture those God thoughts. You want to write those down. Here's why that's important is I'll often write down what I feel God is telling me. And before too long, within usually a day or two, you know, we know this about the enemy. He's a liar. That's his native tongue. And he'll come back and he'll, you know what he did in the garden, right? It was like, did God really say this, right? And so he comes to you with that same lie today. He says, did God really say that? And I'm like, well, let me go check, right? Well, this is what God said to me, and here's the date, right? And this is, I get it. Here it is, right? Because he's going to twist it. He's going to try to plant seeds of doubt. And so I want to write it down. I have a file on my desktop that's labeled prophetic words. And anytime that I'm in an environment where I feel like there's a prophetic word that's for me, as fast as I can, I get to my computer and I write it down and I put the date and I put it out there, you know, because I want to be able to go back to that. I want to measure that. I want to ask the Holy Spirit, what did you mean by this? What are you saying here? You want to capture those God thoughts. And then the last thing I would say, and might be the most important, is I do what the scripture says. I do this in a considerable amount of my prayer time. I do what the scripture says, praying in the Spirit. There's gifts of the Spirit, and one of them is the ability to pray in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. That's talking about the gift of praying in the Spirit. But my mind is unfruitful, so what shall I do? I pray with my spirit, but I also pray with understanding. It's both. It's not either or, it's both and. So it's this idea that you've probably been there. I'll be praying with my own thoughts, right? My own ideas, and I'm submitting them to the Lord. And then have you ever got to the place where you're just like, I don't know how to pray for this, right? I don't know what to pray for this. And that is the perfect time to kind of switch gears and to allow the Holy Spirit to pray through you, because He knows exactly what you need for that situation. This is what I'm talking about, better thinking, right? Because some of us, we get to that place where we don't know what to do, and we think, I don't know what to do, but I'll figure it out. I'll engineer a solution, right? I'll get there, right? I'll just make it happen. And right there would be the best place to say, you know what? There's better thinking out there, but it's not my own. I can't come up with it by myself. I got to listen for the voice of God, and we got to be patient in that moment. I had a situation this week where I'm normally very decisive, very, very decisive, and I had a situation where I had a decision to make, and I just struggled. I just could not make a decision. It was just, I don't know what it was. I could not make a decision, and there was a timeline. I had a definite place where I had to make the decision, and as I got closer to it, my anxiety just kept rising, and it was like, oh my goodness. And the morning came that the decision was going to have to be made. It was that day. I mean, it was going to happen that day. And I woke up, and this almost never happens to me, but I was just sick to my stomach. I mean, I was just like, oh, this is awful. I don't know what to do. And so the only thing I knew to do was to talk to Lisa, because I wasn't hearing God's voice. I'm like, well, I'll listen for my wife, you know. And so I went to her and I shared with her. I'm like, babe, I don't know what to do. And she's like, well, have you been praying about it? I'm like, yeah, I mean, a lot. And I don't feel like God's talking to me. I don't know what to do. And just so sweet. I mean, she wasn't trying to, you know, she just goes, babe, just, I think it's going to be okay. Just trust God. I think He's going to tell you when the time is right. I'm like, the time is right. like it's today. It's a few hours from now, you know? That's the thing. I don't know. I love that God talks to us. What's hard for me is that often His timing is not on my schedule. And so I went about my day. I trusted. I'm like, okay, babe, you're right. You're right. God's going to tell me. He's going to show me. I don't have to worry about it, you know? And so I went through my day, and I just kept, listening. I kept thinking, God's going to show me. God's going to show. And He didn't. He didn't show me. And literally the time for the decision came. And Lisa was sitting beside me, and she leans over to me. She goes, it's okay, don't worry. God's going to show you. And I'm like, I wish He would hurry up. And the most interesting thing happened, because the decision that I had been worrying about, all of a sudden the circumstances changed, and I didn't even have to make a decision. And I'm like, why was I worrying so much? And then I thought, no wonder you were silent. There wasn't an answer. Your answer was wait, right? I'll get you there, right? And I learned that lesson. And I mean, quite honestly, I've learned that lesson a few times in my life. It takes a few for me, all right? So I'm here to ask you today to be a better thinker, right? By spending time with the Lord, finding your place, finding your time, finding your process where you can listen for His voice. Let me give you one last scripture. Isaiah chapter 55 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Listen, your very best thoughts are still not God's thoughts. I mean, the most creative, amazing, you know, thing that you can come up with, it's still not on the level of what God thinks. So Christ followers, we should be tapping into that, right? For everything. I mean, for every situation, right? We should be asking God, what do you want me to do, right? You don't have to fret over it. You don't have to fret over it. Why don't you stand with me this morning? I want to create just a few moments where the Lord can help us. What I feel like is some of you today, you know that you need what we're calling better thinking, meaning you know you need some some wisdom from God for a particular situation. And maybe you're like I was a few days ago, just like, come on, God, speak to me. Why am I not hearing you? What's going on? Maybe that's been you lately. And so I want to create space where we can hear the voice of God. And I'll tell you this to encourage you. We did this in the first service, and over half of the people, after we prayed, over half of them, I just said, hey, how many of you feel like you heard from the Lord this morning? You have wisdom for your situation. Over half of the people were like, yeah, I know what to do next. It was so encouraging. Because, listen, God is speaking. The question is, are we listening? So what I want to do, I'm going to ask the worship team to sing this song for just a few moments. And as we're singing this, if that's you, you're like, man, I need God's thinking for a specific situation, I'm going to invite you to come to one of my places where I hear the voice of God. I'm going to invite you to the front here, to the altar space. And we're going to spend a few minutes just seeking the presence of God. And as we open our hearts, as we position ourselves to hear, I believe that He's going to speak to you. And you're going to have the answer. You're going to get the wisdom that you need. And we're going to pray together. It's going to be a great way to end. You carried some stuff in that you won't carry out. So worship team, help me.
Those of you that have come to the front, let me talk to you for just a second. So normally in these moments, I would ask prayer partners to come and to surround you, but you don't need to hear from a prayer partner today. You need to hear the voice of God. So you're already doing it, but I'm going to ask you to just really intentionally position your heart to hear from God this morning. You know, the mistake I most often make is I try to figure it out myself. I try to, you know, we could do this and that, and I try to figure it out. So I have to intentionally push that aside and listen for the voice of God. So in just a moment, we're just going to ask and say, Holy Spirit, will you speak to me about whatever it is, right? And then I'm going to ask you just to close your eyes and don't sing the song or don't keep talking, just listen. And in this moment, I believe the Holy Spirit's going to reveal to you the wisdom that you need. And often for me, it happens in various ways. A lot of times He'll give you a verse. You look that verse up, and it's the answer that you need. So sometimes it's like I just see a picture in my mind that, you know, that just it like leads me in the right way. Sometimes it's just kind of a word or a sentence that I just hear it in my heart, right? And then I'm going to ask you. So we're going to do that, and then I'm going to ask you before you leave to capture whatever it is that He spoke, write it down on your phone or, I don't know, back of an envelope or something. Write it down, okay? Because you're in a sphere right now where you can hear the voice of God, but you're going to leave and the enemy's going to try to lie to you. So you come back to that. You come back to that promise, okay? Because some of you have some complicated decisions to make. You cannot make it on your own. God can show you what to do. So let's just position our hearts right now. Would you just ask, say, Holy Spirit, reveal to me the answers that I need. And let's listen. Let's just listen for the voice of God this morning. Lord, thank you for your wisdom. Lord, thank you that you care about our situations. Lord, thank you that you're not a distant God, but you get all up in our problems. Lord, you have answers that we've been seeking. So we resign from trying to figure it out ourselves. We give up trying to think it through on our own power. And we ask you to speak to us. We ask you to show us. Lord, forgive us for not coming to you sooner, for not relying on you. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would speak so clearly. Your word says that the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. So as we're hearing things this morning, may we know, because the voice is familiar. It's a familiar voice. It's a voice that we can trust, because you've taken us
places before. You've kept us safe before. You've watched over us. And so we will trust that voice. Lord, we trust that voice like we sang this, and we trust that voice in every season. Lord, it's easy to trust when things are good, but my guess is for most of those that came this morning, it's harder because right now there's confusion. It's not easy, but may the familiar voice cut through the chaos this morning so that we can focus on exactly what you're saying. And we just say, we'll trust that voice. We may not understand it. We may not know where you're going exactly, but we'll trust and we'll take the next step. The next step, whatever that is, or we're asking you to show us this morning. Reveal it by your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray over our entire church, Lord, that this week as we create space and time to hear your voice, Lord, that every promise in your word would be true. That as we ask, that you would respond. That as we seek, you would be found. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that over our time, Lord, as we seek you, that, oh man, we would just be such an incredible time that we'd want to keep coming back. We'd want to keep coming back, hearing your voice, Lord. Make us a church, Lord, that prays, that hears your voice, and that obeys whatever it is that you're asking of us. Lord, I believe, Lord, that you have amazing things in store as we follow your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Harvest, as you're leaving today, may the Lord bless you, keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, give you grace now and forever. Harvest, go be the church.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Fellowship podcast. For more information, visit harvestabq.org.